the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind. I will listen, and I will be here when the laughter turns to crying through the winning, losing, and trying. I will be here. I will be here. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the future isn't clear, I will be here. Just as sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for years. I will be here. I will be here. You can cry on my shoulder when the mirror tells us we're older. I will hold you, and I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you are to me. I will be here. I will be true to the promise I have made to you and to the one who gave you to me. Just as sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for years. I will be here, we'll be together. I will be here.
gathered here today in the sight of God in the presence of these witnesses to join together Brandon McGregor and Amanda Abbott in the bonds of holy matrimony according to the command of God, the custom of the Christian Church, and the laws of this province, and to seek on their behalf the blessing of God. Marriage is an honorable and holy estate instituted by God at the very creation of the world when he made male and female. It was at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee that Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine, that ancient symbol of joy and celebration. The Apostle Paul compared the unique one-flesh relationship of husband and wife to the mystical union which exists between Christ and his bride, the Church. The divine intent in marriage is a life of self-giving love in a permanent bond, illustrative of his perfect and everlasting love for us. God established marriage that a man and a woman might find in each other lifelong companionship, that natural, God-given instincts and affections might be fulfilled in mutual love, and that children would have the security and benefit of family commitment, and that society would rest on the firm foundation of secure family relationship. The joining together of a man and woman in marriage is central to the created order. Today, Brandon and Amanda establish a brand new home. While it will bear the imprint of the homes and traditions they each grew up in, it will nevertheless be a new home unique to them. As we witness their marriage and celebrate together this special day in their lives, I charge you as their witnesses with the responsibility of supporting them in their marriage relationship, to rejoice with them in their happinesses, to be a source of help and strength in times of difficulty, and to remember them in our prayers, for marriage is of God, for our benefit and honors Him. Brandon and Amanda, I charge you both to cherish and protect your mutual love and respect for each other, to be patient with each other's weaknesses and idiosyncrasies. And some time ago, I discovered this excellent definition of the word patience. Let me share it with you. Uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance. I think that's a pretty good one. I think it's easier to hear it and say it than it is to practice it. But we need to be patient with one another. Uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance. To be a comfort to each other in times of sickness, trouble, or sorrow. To always be honest with the other and work hard for the other's benefit. And to be encouragers of each other. These are the things that will help your marriage to be strong and vital for the rest of your lives as you commit your ways to the Lord. In this, you will truly become one. I would invite you to bow before the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you rejoicing in this special day as Brandon and Amanda commit their lives to each other in marriage. Your heart beats with joy because you seek our joy and happiness. You created the special relationship of marriage for our benefit and joy and wrapped it with your blessing and protection by declaring it to be sacred. This is a divine moment, for you are present here in our midst. You have so loved us that you want us to experience the kind of love that is from you and elevate our human love relationship to the very heavens by teaching us that the permanence of the marriage bond is like your love, which never ends, never fails, and in that we can rest secure. God, our Father in heaven, by your grace, enable Brandon and Amanda to faithfully meet the responsibilities and sacred obligations of the vows they make to each other this day. May they know your richest blessings and the abundant joy that you alone can bring to their lives as they walk together with you. This we pray in faith and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please remain standing for the singing of praise to the Lord the Almighty. You have the words in your program.
Pray.
Brandon, will you declare before God and these witnesses that you have chosen Amanda to be your lawful and wedded wife? And will you promise to be to her a faithful and affectionate husband until death shall separate you?
I will.
Amanda, will you declare before God and these witnesses that you have chosen Brandon to be your lawful and wedded husband? And will you promise to be to him a faithful and affectionate wife until death shall separate you?
I will.
Who gives Amanda to be married to Brandon?
Her mother, Christine Abbott, and I, Warren Abbott, with pleasure.
I have been asked to share a few words with the couple this afternoon, and as a preacher, I noticed that they sat down. I don't know if that's an indication of anticipating a long, drawn-out time for me, but one of the things I have found out in performing marriage is that what I have to say to them, they will not hear. It is for you to hear it and tell them later on. It is for you to record it, and then they listen later on. Nevertheless, I think it is important that both this young couple desire to share this time in a biblical way in which, as in the wedding of Cana, Christ was invited to attend the wedding. Brandon and Amanda, for the past 40 years, the home has been under attack steadily from various groups, some inside the church and some outside the church. It has been mocked. Its principles have been minimized. Yet, there is a strong hunger in the hearts of young people, older people, to know something of what it is to experience a lifelong partnership. And I surrender to you this afternoon that such a relationship must begin with the divine order, not with the physical. I've chosen a very strange passage for my meditation this afternoon. It's a passage that the questioners came to Christ and asked a question concerning divorce. It's interesting that you talk about divorce at a wedding. Well, the answer that Christ gives answers the question as to how that can be prevented. And that is my text this afternoon from Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. I want to answer this question, first of all. What is the source of marriage? The Pharisees came to Christ and they asked the question, Master, is it right for someone to divorce a partner for any cause at all? And I love the answer that Jesus gave to them. He didn't give them a philosophical answer. Immediately he turned their minds back to time when time began. But then he said this, He who made them. Have you not read, He who made them? Interestingly enough, Jesus is telling the questioners that marriage began in the mind of a person. It began in the mind of the Creator, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who decided that man was not to be alone, so he would do something about it. But what I want to share with you for these moments is this. If marriage came from the mind of God, everything that comes from the mind of God is sacred. So this afternoon, you're entering into a sacred relationship. It is not a social one merely. It is not something having to do with from the culture in which we're living. In a multicultural country like Canada, it can be easily misunderstood in the minds of some that because every culture has its own idea of marriage, marriage began or begins with them. Jesus said, no, it began in the mind of God and it is sacred. But it is something else that Jesus said to the disciples. Marriage is not only made in the mind of God. God has given us a model for marriage. a model for marriage. And what is that model? He said, have you not read that in the beginning he created them male and female? The only thing in the mind of God that constitutes a marriage is a man and a woman coming together. Not the cultural tinkling of it, not the family tinkling with it, a man and a woman. Now, this is a strange thing God said. It is not good for a man to be alone. But in a real sense, was Adam alone? Was not God there with him in the garden? What did God mean when he says it's not good for a man to be alone? When he had everything in knowing who made him, who created him, he had everything there that it took for marriage. God, in his wonderful design, has made a man and a woman to experience joys that he alone ordained for them to enjoy. Even the divine creator refrained from responding to that side of Adam that a woman would one day fulfill. And so you come together fulfilling the model that was in the mind of God, that a marriage is to be constituted by a man and a woman, and so he made them male and female. You come today to participate in that. No, I didn't tell you that I have two texts, because you might have been thinking, he has two messages? Well, no, I have one message based on two texts. The second text is found in the Old Testament in the beginning, in the book of Genesis. It is the story of Isaac and Rebekah. A marriage that is so unique that when we read it today, it fascinates us because of the way in which it was established. What do we find as the specifics of marriage? Let me suggest to you three very important things. It was already alluded to in the pastor's message. In verse 63 of the 24th chapter of Genesis, Isaac had never met Rebekah. Rebekah had never met Isaac, but he is out in the field meditating. That's a very interesting thing, because I'll tell you why. They had never met each other. You two have been courting each other, I think, for a long time. I was still living here in Canada when you did, and what a joy when I received the word that you were engaged. But these two people had never met each other. What then would it take for two people who had never seen each other, in a culture in which you and I live, marriage is based upon seeing, desiring, talking, and then consuming. But these two had never. So how did Isaac prepare himself to become the husband of Rebekah? He was in the field meditating. Brendan, I have known you for a long, long time. And one of the things I think your parents have shared with you is the importance of making God having a central place, not only in your life as an individual, but in your responsibility and relationship with others. How have you prepared yourself for this day? May I suggest that you take a leaf from the pages of Isaac's life and learn to make prayer a very vital part of your life, to make prayer a central part of your relationship. You will experience things in the marriage that are so exciting that the ultimate joy that you have can only be completed as you share that joy with thanksgiving to God. That's how he began. But there's something else that is quite interesting. The scripture says in verse 67 of chapter 24 of Genesis, Isaac saw Rebekah. He took her as his wife, and then he loved her. To me, that is fascinating, because in our culture, love comes first and then anything can come afterwards. But in the text, it says it was after the wedding that he loved her. Let me suggest three things about cherishing a partner. The first is the commitment of the will. The commitment of the will. I want to say to you this afternoon and to those who are listening that love alone will not keep a marriage intact. When Rebekah was getting ready to leave home, her parents asked, do you want to go with this man? And she said, I will. And what Isaac was doing in the field, he was committing his will to God, to give himself to someone he had never met before, so that when all the difficulties of relationships and building would come, the will would be there to say, I willed myself to this person, and nothing will interfere with that. I want to suggest to you that you commit your will to your relationship more than your emotions. Emotions are important, but they will not do simply as a part of what makes a marriage lasting. There is not only the commitment of the will, there's the celebration of the will. She became his wife. I want to suggest to you something, Amanda, that as you become the wife of Brendan today, Brendan will share with you himself exclusively. You will share yourself with him exclusively. And you will experience joy in the intimacy as God ordained it, that the only thing that will supersede that joy will be the joy of fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us all the physical enjoyment of relationship, but they are pictures of that ultimate joy that we have with him. To take someone as a wife means that the husband and the wife are free to struggle and to grow in enjoying each other. They invite each other to reach ecstatic joys that is superseded only by our union with our Lord. And so today you have asked friends to come and celebrate the will you have already made. You have put into the public that which you have done in private. And now the world knows that each of you belong exclusively to the other. And then briefly, lastly, there's this, what I call this deliberately, the custodian of the will. What will happen when you take the gown off, the veil off? What will happen when you enter at home? Certain things happen. When my wife was flattered by me, she wanted to win my heart very easily. She wanted to win it over, and so she decided, she knew I love waffles. And so she isn't here, so please don't tell her I said this. She made waffles for me, and she burned everything. Our first meal together, the waffle was burned. How do you deal with that? That's a kind of a humorous story. C.S. Lewis helps me right here. He loved her. After the celebration of the will, after the commitment of the will, he loved her. In the everyday aspect of life, love grew and took care of the will that was made initially. Three very beautiful relationship with love. There is what C.S. Lewis calls the gift love. What is gift love? Gift love is where you seek to give to the other without them asking for it. You feel that by giving to the other, you will enhance the relationship. You will help that person to understand how deeply the one loves the other and vice versa. Imagine living together under one roof in an environment where two people are committed to give to each other so that their lives are enriched together. Gift love is where I give, not because you ask, but because I love. There is need love. Need love. What is need love? Need love is to seek to meet the emotional needs of each other. There will come times when you don't know why certain things are the way they are. You will get tired. You will run out of the new wine, as it were. How do you respond? You want to ask yourself, first of all, what does my husband need? What does my wife need? Need love gives for the psychological development of the person, as gift love gives for the physical development of the person. And the last, and very briefly, is anticipation love. Anticipation love is the love that simply enjoys the presence of the other, not because I have anything to give or because I want anything. When we lived here in Ontario, I loved going to Niagara Falls. There was a certain place in Niagara Falls that I loved to go, and I would stand there, and I would watch the water falling, and there was something of joy that I could not express. Let me suggest to you that anticipation love is simply loving the person for who they are. Not because of anything outwardly, not because of anything inwardly. This kind of love is really the kind of love with which God loves you and with which you will love one another. And so, with this word, each moment of your marriage, let it begin with the anticipation of that moment when we will walk down the aisle of heaven to the Lamb's waiting embrace. I pray that your union with God will ignite and solidify your relationship with each other. May you enjoy the journey as you take it as one flesh. May God bless you.
In the presence of God and before these witnesses, I now invite you to exchange your vows. Please join your right hands. You can join both hands. And repeat after me. I, Brandon, take you, Amanda.
I, Brandon, take you, Amanda.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
I give you my promise.
I give you my promise.
I, Amanda, take...
Amanda.
Take you, Brandon.
Take you, Brandon.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in
health. To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
I give you my promise.
I give you my promise.
These rings are made of gold, the purest of metals, signifying that you will give to each other your best and that you will keep your love pure. The rings are also a circle, unbroken. May these rings always be to you a symbol of unbroken love and the outward sign to all of your union in holy matrimony. As you exchange these rings with each other, please repeat after me in unison. I choose you this day.
I choose you this day.
To love and confide in.
To love and confide in.
To honor, take pride in.
To honor, take pride in.
Believe in and share with.
Believe in and share with.
To go everywhere with.
To go everywhere with.
I choose you this day.
I choose you this day.
To love you forever.
To love you forever.
For as much as you, Brandon McGregor, and you, Amanda Abbott, have consented to the vows of holy matrimony before God and these witnesses, and have confirmed the same by the giving and receiving of rings, now therefore, according to the authority vested in me by the Church and by the laws of this province, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I now pronounce you to be husband and wife. Everybody said? Amen. Right on. You may kiss the bride. Does anyone need a pose on that for more pictures?
Never knew I could feel like this, like I've never seen the sky before. I want to vanish inside your kiss. Every day I love you more and more. Listen to my heart, can you hear it sings, telling me to give you everything. Seasons may change, winter to spring, but I love you until the end of time, come what may, come what may, I will love you until my dying day.
Suddenly the world seems such a perfect place. Suddenly it moves with such perfect grace.
Suddenly my life doesn't seem such a waste.
It all revolves around you.
And there's no mountain too high, no river too wide. Sing out this song and I'll be there by your side. Storm clouds may gather, stars may collide, but I love you.
But I love you
until the end of time. Come what may. Come what may. I will love you until my time. A perfect place. Come what may. Come what may. I will love you until my time.
Wow. Now we're going to dedicate you to the Lord and your marriage to the Lord. Let's all bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful couple. And thank you for marriage. Thank you for the vows that have been made, the promises made. Thank you that it's done in the environment of the presence of Jesus Christ. Thank you that this is done according to God's imagination. And I pray that every desire in the heart of God for Brandon and Amanda will be fulfilled in the days to come. In the ordinary days when the sparkle doesn't seem to be very bright, Lord, may their will be so committed to one another that those days will go well. In the days when there's tension, and that comes in every marriage, may the will be there to work it through, and with the blessing of God, to build on each time that there's a laughter, that there's a tear, and under the presence of God, to build a home that is strong and safe for one another, strong and safe for children that you may bless them with in the future, and that this home will be to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we dedicate this couple and their marriage vows to Almighty God and to the blessing of their extended families and to their friends. May they be a light for Jesus wherever they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you richly.
The two outside candles have been lighted to represent their lives to this moment. They have been two distinct lights, each capable of going their separate ways. To bring bliss and happiness to their home, there must be the merging of these two lights into one light. This is what the Lord meant when he said, on this account, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. From now on, their thoughts shall be for each other rather than for themselves. Their plans shall be mutual. Their joys and sorrows shall be shared alike. As they each take a candle and together light the center one, they will extinguish their own candles, thus letting the center candle represent the union of their lives into one flesh. As this one light cannot be divided, neither shall their lives be divided. Brandon, Amanda, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Such a long, long time. I needed someone just like you to be there by my side. To be there in the good time. To be there through the bad times, I prayed for you. Prayed for you. Oh. Yes, I do. I remember reading in God's Word husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved us, that he gave his own life and I believe in his word and doing what it says. That's why I have no doubt that we will succeed, because I prayed for you. Prayed for you. You said, ask, and it shall be given. You said, seek, and you shall find. Well, I sought all around. What a blessing I have found, because I prayed for you. Prayed for you. Oh, I prayed for you. Yes, I do. For all the times we can't explain the reasons why, for all the times a problem seems to never die, we'll go to God in prayer. I know he'll be right there, he'll be right there. You said, ask, and it shall be given. You said, seek, and you shall find. Well, I sought all around. What a blessing I have found, because I prayed for you. Prayed for you. Oh, I prayed for you. Yes, I do. You see, prayer is the key, but faith unlocks the door. I prayed for you. Yes, I do. I prayed for you. Yes, I do. I prayed for you.
Directions to the reception this afternoon, please just ask those, well, myself or Father of the Bride or a number that are around, they give you precise directions. It now gives me great honor for the very, very first time to introduce as husband and wife, Brandon and Amanda McGregor. Would you stand as we welcome them?